Proud of them. They've hung in there so strong and so good. I promise you, I don't plan on preaching all these. But as I was praying for who to ask, I couldn't get away from this message, and I feel like it is for here. So if you'll help me, I'll try to give you my burden, all right? If you want to turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. I meant to say thank the Lord and the people for $248 in the offering. Thank you for your giving. Mark chapter 4. We'll begin at verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. If the Lord will help me for just a little while, I'd like to preach on the side effect of the storm. The side effect of the storm. Would you pray for me one more time before you see it? The side effects of the storm. You see, a side effect is simply something that comes along with something else. It's just something that almost like it hitches a ride with something else. Most of the time we talk about it when we're talking about medication. Medication have side effects. And just for curiosity, while I was studying this, I looked up some of the side effects of common medication that most people probably have in their above their sink, and you'd be surprised what some of the side effects are. And almost every one of them end with and could cause death. And I thought, oh my goodness. But side effects is just something that goes along with something else. It's just something that it carries along with it. It is a potential of whatever that you're taking. There is a good potential that you'll have the side effect. And often the side effect is more deadly than the problem to begin with. Often it is just as bad as what you was trying to cure. But tonight I want to talk to you for a little while on a side effect of the storm. Something that comes along with going through the storm. Something that rides along with what happens when you go through a storm in your life. You see, these disciples were on the sea. They had Jesus in the boat. They were commanded to go to the other side. They went through the storm. It's very familiar scripture. You know how it is. But right here in this 37th verse, it says, and so the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The boat was full of water. It was about to sink when they went and woke Jesus up. And you know the story, how he steps up, he calms the sea, the wind stopped, the rain stopped, and it's a perfectly calm. And I just imagine in my mind, I imagine as they, you know, they're awed and amazed, as Brother Ashley preached a couple months ago about how they was just in reverence and worship of him. But I can just imagine in my mind as that disciple goes to turn around and get back to sailing across to the other side, he sloshes. He's in knee-deep water. The storm's over, but that boat's still full. That boat is still dangerously full of water of things that they picked up going through the storm. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about side effects of the storm, things you pick up when you go through the storm. They was already out of the storm. They were on clear, beautiful sea, clear, beautiful sky, but their boat was still in danger of sinking if they didn't get rid of the things that they picked up during that storm. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? That's what I want to preach to you about. It's very easy to pick things up in a storm. It's very easy to let things flood into your vessel. It's very easy to take on things that you didn't intend to when you're in a storm. It's very easy to take on bitterness. Very easy to take on hurt. Very easy to take on misunderstandings. Very easy to take on disappointment into your vessel when you're being in a storm. And so many times I've seen people make it all the way through the storm. They made it plumb through the crisis in their life and get on the other side, and their boat's still wallowing in the water because it's full of things that they picked up in that last crisis they just came through. It's full of things that they picked up in the storm. And you see, the dangerous part about picking things up in a storm is that boat can sink in calm water just like it can in a raging waves. In the 1800s, in the British fleet back in the 1800s, said they was losing a massive amount of ships. They were just losing ship after ship after ship. And Samuel Plimsoll, he was a member of Parliament. He went before Parliament and he began to raise a group of people and raise support for a bill that he was trying to put into Parliament. And he eventually got the support. He got the bill passed. And they went through all the British British ships. Sorry, tongue tied. They went through all the fleet, and they went inside in the hull of that ship, and they went down through there and they painted a line all the way around the inside of that ship, and they called it a load line. And today they still use that. It's called the Plimsoll Mark now. And they said that no cargo can be loaded above this line. You see, he figured out their problem wasn't rough seas. It wasn't storms. It wasn't attack of pirates. It wasn't anything else. But they were simply carrying too much for the vessel to float. They were sinking and losing their ships because they were simply trying to carry too much. And you know, it works so well that works so well. Number one, they still use it in fleets today. They still have a load line, a Plimsoll Mark. But it worked so well that they nicknamed him the friend of sailors, because the lifespan of a sailor was so short in those days. And because of that, it worked so well, they nicknamed him the friend of sailors, because those ships wasn't made to carry that much. Those ships wasn't made to be that overloaded, and neither are you. Neither is your vessel. And after a while, if you don't get rid of some things you picked up in the storm, you'll make it past the waves. You'll make it past the rain. You'll make it past the winds. And on the other side, on a calm sea, you'll sink because of things you picked up back there in the storm. Oh, I hope I can preach this out to you like I feel it on my heart. It is a very common problem in the church world today, the side effects that we face in the storm. It's not really something a lot of people testify about. One of the main side effects I want to talk to you about is something it's common, but you don't hear a lot of people testify about it, because most people don't testify and stand up and say, you know, I'm having trouble trusting God because my expectations wasn't met in that last storm I come through. Most people don't really stand up. I've heard people testify like this, and I've testified like this myself. I've stood up and said, I've disappointed God, but God's never disappointed me. And that's true to a certain extent. But there's been times in my life when I got through the storm, and I looked back and I thought, Lord, I'm kind of disappointed at how that worked out. I made it. I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful that I survived. But if I'm real honest with you, Lord, I'll tell you, my heart's kind of broke because my expectations didn't get met in that crisis I was in. Is that all right? Is that all right? Does that make sense? That ain't something you hear nobody testify about much, but it's the truth. It's something that we face a lot in this hour. James Dobson said it like this. He said, when horrible things come to the life of a sinner? He said, they'll blame it on bad luck. They'll blame it on fate. They'll blame it on, you know, circumstance. They'll blame it on anything they want to. But when horrible things happen in the life of a believer, and you know and believe that there's a God in heaven that has the power to change and work in the affairs of men, it's hard to carry that load. It's hard on your faith to carry a load of broken expectations. It's hard on your faith when you kneel down to pray and the first thing the devil says is, now last time you prayed like this, your children backslid anyway. Your family's lost anyway. Now last time you went on a fast and was praying for somebody like this, they passed away anyway. Last time you was really struggling and praying and fasting and trying to do your best, that situation fell apart anyhow. And it's hard to have faith when you're struggling under a load of broken expectations. You're quiet. I'm just trying to preach to you my burden. It's hard to go on. It's hard to have no doubt. It's hard to put your heart behind it when your expectations was crushed. And so oftentimes you find your vessel just barely trying to get through day by day. You're out of the storm, but you're still dangerously, the top of your boat is dangerously close to the top of the water because your expectations have been broken. It's not a very new thing. It's not a new tactic of the devil. It's not a new trick of the enemy. John the Baptist faced the very same thing. He faced the very same thing. In prison, he sent his disciples. He said, you go find Jesus and ask him, are you really he? Are you really the Messiah? He wasn't saying, if you're not him, I'm quitting, I'm done. But he said, are you really he, or should I look for another? He still wanted to keep trying. He wanted to keep going. He wasn't in his heart to backslide, but it was just so hard to keep faith when his expectations had been broken down. Now, he knew better. Really and truly, he did know better. He's the one that prophesied and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He seen the dove descend on him. He heard God speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But because of where he was at, he never expected that the forerunner of Jesus Christ would end up in prison before Christ's ministry ever really got off to a good start, hardly. It just had getting started, and he's the forerunner's in prison and almost seems like forgotten. I'm sure that's probably what the enemy was telling. You've been forgotten. Here you was, you give your whole life crying out in the desert, preaching against the sins of the king and the sins of this city and the coming of their Messiah. And now you're sitting in prison, almost forgotten. Your disciples have all went and followed Jesus. And now here you are, and your expectations of what you thought was going to happen ain't nowhere near to the reality you're living right now. And there he said, and that's why he said, go ask him, are you really he? Is my hope in vain? Is my faith in vain? I want to keep trusting and I want to keep going, but I'm struggling with trust. I'm struggling with having faith to go on. And when you're in that spot, it's very hard to be happy and joyful about living for God when you don't know if you can trust him or not. And so that's where you find yourself toiling, loaded over, just about to sink. You ain't wanting to quit. You ain't wanting to backslide. You ain't wanting the things of the world. You're just having a hard time trusting. You're just having a hard time trusting. I often wondered about Jesus' answer to John. I never did really understand it for a long time. Because it seems like he comes and asks him a question, and at first glance, it seems like he almost didn't even answer. He just turns and he starts healing folks, and he says, go tell him, the deaf hear, the lame walk, poor have the gospel preached unto him. But the more I thought about it, the more I got excited about it. Because you know what I feel like he was telling John? John, just because you can't see what I'm doing, don't mean I'm not doing anything. From where you are, from your prison, you can't see the dumb speaking. You can't see the lame walking. From where you're at right now, you don't know that I'm spreading the gospel. And you can't see the effects of what I'm doing. But then he goes right down to that part and he says, blessed is he that's not offended in me. And I believe he was telling him, blessed is he that loves me even when they can't see me working. Blessed is he that trusts me even when what they see is prison bars and cold stone walls. And it feels like they've been abandoned. But blessed is he that'll love me and trust me even when it seems like I forgot about you where you are. That, believe it or not, that was the part of this message I was wanting to tell somebody so bad. That was what my burden was. I feel like telling you, somebody, you've been weighed down with the side effects of the storm you went through, and your expectations got broken. You fasted and prayed and done the best you could, and then it seems like, I just thought it was more than this. I just thought it worked out different. I just thought things was going to be a little different than they come out. But then you find out that, hey, it was nothing like it I was expecting. But blessed is he that's not offended in me. Don't let your broken expectations stop your faith in the love and the mercy and the grace of God. His grace is enough. His love is enough. And just because you can't see what he's doing, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you he's not working in that situation. That situation is hopeless. That situation is gone. Don't let him use your broken expectations as the knife that severs your faith until you fizzle out and you sink in calm water because of all the things that you picked up in a storm. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? I'm coming to a close. I've told you what my burden was. On the other side, these disciples, on the other side, there's a man in the tombs desperately needing a miracle. There's a city that man in the tombs is going to go preach the good news of the gospel. And he's going to tell them about Jesus Christ, their Messiah, and all that he's done for them. There is a revival going to happen in that city that man goes and preaches to. There's going to be some great miracles on the other side. And that's what I feel like telling some of you. You're through the storm. There's fixing to be some great miracles. There's fixing to be some great things you're going to see happen. God has some great plans in store in the future and down the road. But you're never going to get to see them if you don't get rid of some of those things you just picked up in the storm. If you don't bail out some of those things that the storm filled your boat with, you're never going to make it to the other side to see that man delivered. And you're not going to make it to the other side to see what God has in store. Is that all right? I got so much excitement, I guess you'd say, to see what God's going to do. I have so much, I'm so encouraged to see what God's going to do. I really am. So happy about what the Lord's doing. But I'm so worried that some of you, if you don't get what you picked up in the storm out of your vessel, it's going to sink you from the inside out. It's going to sink you from the inside out. He really does love you. And he really is working. And blessed is he that's not offended in me. Bail out those things that you picked up in a storm. They'll only slow you down. They'll only sink you. They'll only cause you to continue. They'll just drain your faith till you ain't got nothing left. That's what I come to tell you. I know I ain't been up here long. I don't know how long I've been up here. I ain't been up here long, but I've given you my heart. I've given you my burden. You've picked up some side effects that come along with going through a storm. You're going to have to bail them out if you're going to see the miracles that wait on the other side. Oh, I wish I could get it out to you like I feel it. Wish I could get it out to you like I feel it. Because I feel that the hope for tomorrow is so bright, so great. I'm so worried that you ain't going to see it if you don't get past little things that come over the side of the boat when you were in the storm. That's when you're in the storm, it's easy to pick up things. In the storm, it's easy to pick up things. It's easy to get hurt in a storm. It's easy to get disappointed in a storm. It's easy to get bitter in a storm. It really is. But don't forget, the storm's behind you. You got to move on. You got to bail out the water and get on to the revival waiting on the other side.
Yes, sir.
These altars are open. I'm closing. These altars are open. If you find yourself wallowing in a sea, struggling with things that you done made it through, don't let those broken expectations sink you now. You've already made it this far. Don't let it sink you now. What a waste it would be to make it all the way here, make it all the way this far, and let the devil talk you right out of enough faith to go on to the other side. Let him keep all that in there until it sinks your vessel from the inside out. These altars are open.